It's good to be here, and I'm really thankful for the occasion that we have to study together the first seven verses of 1 Corinthians 13. I have to say that I'm a little disappointed because Andy forgot the most important thing. We like the same kind of jacket. But he's going to have some hard time when he gets home because he forgot also another thing. I met your sister also on Project Italy. And she made the way to be here tonight, so you're going to hear from her. But it's good to be here. I'm grateful for the invitation. I'm grateful for the elders here, for the school of preaching. It's always a great challenge to be here and to speak for you. I love this challenge. And I love when it's at this hour, because the people that have been before me have been able to keep you awake. Now you have finished your digestion, so you have no excuses. But also the fact that after me, there is no another speaker until 7:05. So I can go on all the way till 7:05. If you miss dinner, you cannot complain. That's material food. Spiritual food is more important. But I'll try to be brief, and I'll try to stay in my time. On Saturday, March 4th, 1865, the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, concluded his second inaugural address declaring, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in." He didn't know that just a little more than a month after that declaration, he was going to be assassinated by John Wilkes Booth on April 15th. He didn't know that at that time, while he was addressing the nation about some fundamental attitude that were needed to solve the great constitutional, military, and moral crisis, he was introducing one of those concepts that we will talk today and that we can recognize today as fundamental to solve the crisis that this nation is now in. He went to the Bible to find these principles. He was a great leader. He had a great ability to share his mind with the nation. But he went to get three basic attitudes that we find in the Bible. And he qualifies these as malice, as charity, and firmness in the right. And it's interesting that he specifies all these three have to condition our lives according to the right as God gives us to see the right. So this tells me that this is not based on our own opinion, but it's based on the fact that we need to go back to where God tells us what is right and what is wrong. Charity is the theme for this lesson. Charity for all. Charity for all, that we need to say that in the Bible time, charity had a kind of different meaning than what today a lot of people feel. Charity in the Bible time was, according to C.S. Lewis, love in the Christian sense. And he continues and says, but love in the Christian sense does not mean an emotion. It is a state not of the feelings, but of the will. That state that, of the will, which we have naturally about ourselves and must learn to have about other people. Long time before C.S. Lewis, some theologians in the church by the name of Augustine summarized the idea of charity in this way. Charity is the virtue which, when our affections are perfectly ordered, unites us to God, for by it we love Him. After him, Thomas Aquinas. He will place charity, the Christian kind of charity, in the list of the Christian virtues, and he specified the role of charity as the foundation or root of all them. Paul pens 1 Corinthians 13 through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I believe this is one of those texts that are most known in the world, along with Psalm 23 or John 3:16. Many consider 1 Corinthians 13 as the greatest, the strongest, and the deepest composition that the Apostle Paul ever penned. I don't know if it's right to do that distinction or not. I believe everything that the Holy Spirit penned through human hands, it is great. It is strong and is deep. But this tells us how great appeal 1 Corinthians 13 has on the people's mind. It is important that we consider what Paul has been saying before and after. As we have seen in the morning lesson with Brad, sometimes it might seem that there are holes in the scripture, or there are things that I don't understand. You know, why talk about a legal problem and then you talk about the morality and then you go back there? Same thing here. This love chapter is inserted in the middle of another conversation, another study. The Corinthian church had a lot of problems. The Corinthian church had a lot of things they need to learn. The Corinthian church needed to be corrected in many different things. One of the things that they believed erroneously was the fact that the charismatic gift were something important to determine the spirituality of the person. They were convinced that your spiritual life was proved by the spiritual, special, charismatic gift. Well, the Apostle Paul is dealing with that in chapter 12 and in chapter 14. In the middle, he puts chapter 13. And the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I am strongly convinced that has decided to do that just because he needed to show that attitude is fundamental also in what we do. The Corinthians were divided. We have seen this, and we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, 17, chapter 3. They were proud, 1 Corinthians 5, and they were even willing to destroy each other about food, 1 Corinthians 8. They were ready to fight of a spirit of rivalry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, after he talks about the unity of the body that we heard yesterday by Brother Bartrak, he says at the very end of chapter 12 that there is a more excellent way. And in verse 31, he says, I'm going to show you the most excellent way. And after he does that, he goes back to deal with the issue that they have. The Apostle Paul is going to show the way of charity love as the only alternative for spiritual immaturity, for wrong feelings, from bad attitudes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, reflecting on 1 Corinthians 13, affirms these words, and I quote, "This is the decisive word which marks the distinction between men in disunion and men in the origin. The word is love. There is a recognition of Christ, a powerful faith in Christ, and indeed a conviction and a devotion of love, even unto death, all without love. And that is the point. Without this kind of love, everything falls apart, and everything is unacceptable. But in this love, everything is united and everything is pleasing to God." What is this love? Of course, the Apostle Paul already wrote several centuries before Bonhoeffer asked the question, what is this love? And now in the moments that we still have for our study, we're going to try to trace what is this love. Love, charity love, is the most excellent way because it's not based on performance. In the first three verses of chapter 13, the Apostle Paul deals with this strange idea that unfortunately is still common today in many people. A lot of the Corinthians were thinking that people were supposed to be esteemed according to their outward performance. Paul tells us that you might have knowledge of languages, that you can speak eloquently, special languages, verse 1. You can have the understanding of supernatural divine faith, verse 2. You can have even the supernatural benevolence, even to the point of death, verse 3. But that is not really what it matters. Because he also says in verse 1 that without the proper attitude of the heart, it produces only empty, noisy clangling, this kind of languages. If it's not the right kind of faith, in verse 2, there's no change of the inner person. In verse 3, if you even give everything to the poor, if you don't have the right attitude, that doesn't make your spiritual condition any different than not having done all that. The Corinthians were thinking, if I can perform, they will love me. If I can perform, I will show to them that God is working in my life. But Paul says, no. It's not performance that is the real outcome of charity love. It's not the purpose of charity love. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul will say, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more," pay attention, "in knowledge and in all discernment." Why? "So that you may approve the things that are excellent." He doesn't talk about performing. He's talking about recognizing the things that can make a difference in our relationship with God and with the other people. "That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness." Who's producing these fruits? Our performance? I don't guess so. And so Paul continues and ends the message to the Philippians, "which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." I am so thankful that my God is not loving me according to my performances. I am blessed that I have friends, brothers, and sisters, that they love me in spite of my performances. And they have learned that from my God, because they have learned that from charity love. Why? What is this love? Well, Paul continues. "Love is the more excellent way because it is patient," or if we want to say, long-tempered. We have here a kind of a beginning of a list of things that Paul is describing for charity love. In other words, this kind of love is a love that suffers long. The 4th century church father, John Chrysostom, said that this is the word used of those who are wronged and who have it easily in their power to avenge themselves, and yet who will not do it. They will not take revenge when it is easy to get it. They will not pay you back when you deserve it. They will not keep you to what you have done. One of Abraham Lincoln's most outspoken political enemy was a man named Edwin J. Stanton. Stanton hated Lincoln at the point that he said that Lincoln was a low, cunning clown. Can you imagine that? But he went further. He even said that can we erase that? I don't know where that came from. He even said, now I know where that came from, that Lincoln, oh boy, was the original gorilla. And Stanton affirmed that it is ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when they could find one easily in Springfield, Illinois. And this was the president of the United States of America. Lincoln never reacted to that. He never responded to those accusations. He decided to not pay back. And surprisingly, after he was elected Lincoln decided to call Stanton to be his Secretary of War. Some people went to the president and questioned him. Well, don't you remember what he called you? Don't you remember what he thinks about you? The president said that he chose him for that role because he is the best man. Love is patient. It's not paying back. And guess what happened? When Lincoln was assassinated, Stanton stood by his coffin and with eyes full of tears, he said, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen." I am grateful that my God is patient with me. Because all the things that I have said, and all the things that I do, and all the things that I bring this grace to him, he had all the right to take revenge. I have no right to be here, to even mention his word because of my actions, my thoughts. But my God, his love is patient. Love is the more excellent way because it is kind. Christians should be the kindest people ever. Christians should be recognized in their workplace for their kindness. They should be recognized in school for their kindness. Christians should be recognized in the store or in the restaurant because of their kindness. Being kind is not just an attitude, it's a practical attitude. Or if you prefer, it's an attitude in practice. It is an action. Being kind comes from the motivation that no matter what, we want to do good to other people. No matter who are the other people, we have interest in their well-being. Kindness is one of the greatest characteristics of God. Psalm 145, verse 7 and 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Jesus will tell to his disciples and to us still today, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. You know, if you go search the text, the original Greek text, you will find that the word easy that Jesus talks about his own yoke has the same root of the word kind in 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Jesus is our example of kindness. Jesus is our example of charity love that express himself in the best way always. Be kind to one another, says Paul to the Ephesians, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I am so grateful that my God is kind. I need kindness. I need to be treated in that way. Not because I deserve it, but because that is the Father's heart that I can recognize. charity love, it is kind. Love is the most excellent way because does not envy, because it's not jealous. Solomon, at the end of his life, affirms that envy is rottenness to the bones. And then he will ask, who is able to stand before jealousy? You know, jealousy, envy, is a very bad thing to have. Not only because of what we do to other people, but mainly because of what we do to ourselves. Whenever we are jealous, whenever we envy somebody, whenever we have that inner boiling or steaming over the success or the beauty or the action of somebody else, we are damaging ourselves also. And so many times we come out as fools. There is a story about two great Italian symphony conductors. One by the name of Toscanini. A lot of you probably have heard about Arturo Toscanini. I don't know how many of you have heard about Pietro Mascagni. Mascagni was a very talented composer. He was as good as Toscanini. But he had a problem. This man, he resented Toscanini because he was famous. Everybody was talking about Toscanini. Very few people talked about Mascagni. A lot of people were calling Toscanini to direct the orchestra. Very few were calling Mascagni. And this man was full of envy. One time, the organizers of a musical festival in Milan at the Scala Theater, they thought, well, let's bring both of the men together. And so they asked both of them if they were willing to direct some of the music. Toscanini accepted. And when Mascagni got to know that Toscanini accepted, he put a condition. He said, I will do it, but only on one condition. And they said, okay, what is your condition? I want to be paid more money than Toscanini. The organizer looked to each other and they said, okay, deal. So the night comes and there is this big performance, and Toscanini direct the orchestra masterfully, and then Mascagni does the same job, excellent job. At the end, he goes to the organizer and said, give me my pay. And they gave him $1. He said, wait a moment, what is this? And they told him, Toscanini did it free. He did not want it to be paid. Envy will make a fool of yourself. Jealousy will bring you to be like Mascagni, and that makes regrets. Again, I am so grateful that my God is not jealous, because he has nothing to be jealous of me. But through his not being jealous, I can learn what charity love is. And I can stop envying my brothers and my sisters that I feel that they are more talented or more recognized. Who cares? They are serving my Father, and we are working all together in the same family. It is shameful, the competition that Christians have. It is shameful, Christians that undermine their brothers and sisters because of envy, because of jealousy. Love is the more excellent way because it does not parade itself. It is not boastful. Love is not a self-centered. Charity love is not egotistical, does not brag. The Christians in Corinth, they were bragging about themselves. They were doing something, and they wanted everybody to recognize it. They like it to be under the spotlight. They wanted for everybody to say, hey, yeah, I've noticed that. The real charity love, it is something that corrects the wrong attitude, that takes away the desire and brings us to service more than being served. Charity love is not boastful, because give me the understanding that I am not important. I am not the center of the world. How many times we feel that? How many times we think that we are? And Paul has to write to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. My God has been teaching me this attitude. And I'm grateful, because if that would not be the case, Jesus would never come on this earth. Jesus would never go on the cross, and I could not be a child of God. There would not be the sacrifice that Jesus made to wash away my sins, because he had the right to be boastful in the right way, because he had the deeds, he had the qualities. But charity love does not parade itself. Love is the more excellent way, because it's not puffed up, it's not arrogant. Let me share one more anecdote about Pietro Mascagni. This guy was very something different. In 1900, he was mentioned in the most important papers in Italy, because he did something very singular. He composed a new opera called The Maschere The Masks. And he decided to give a special dedication to the opera. And for the benefit of my friend Jeannie, the dedication is, a me stesso, con grande stima e immutabile affetto. For all those that don't understand any Italian, to myself, with great respect and unchanging affection. This is the guy. This is the guy. And he made the paper because of this arrogant attitude. The Corinthians were like that. Paul says in chapter 4, now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come soon to you, surely, if the Lord wills. And I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. Pride is before destruction. Love is the most excellent way, because it does not behave rudely. Christian love, it is action and not words. This action that it doesn't look about a retribution. It's always kind. We already said that. But when receive unkindness, does not reply with rudeness. Because charity love, it is not self-centered. Doesn't look to its own. Charity love is the most excellent way because it is not provoked and is always under control. Today, in this world, one of the things that I need to remind myself most often is that there is someone in control. I get so frustrated, I get discouraged, I get upset over what I see. And so often I need to remember myself, there is someone that has control. This is the one that gave me charity love. Real charity love is always under control. Not only that, but never thinks evil. When we are together as a congregation, when we are together, our brothers and sisters, it is a real pain to see suspicion one toward the other. It is always bad when we have that spirit of thinking of evil. We are not sure about the real feelings of the other one. So many times that is true. So many times people are evil. So many times people are trying to hurt you. But these are people that do not know charity love. And this is what my God has been showing all along. Because this God that is the creator and is the sustainer and is in control does not rejoice in iniquity, but he rejoices in the truth. There are many other things that we could say about charity love. And I don't want to be remembered like the one that have you missing your dinner. So I'm going to jump to the conclusion. And I hope that you'll benefit not only from the few pages that are in the book under my name, but through all the book. I've seen all those who have been here before me that had to do the same thing, jump, because there is so much to say. And we are blessed that we can have the tapes, we can have the books, and we can study furthermore. But one thing I'd like to emphasize before we finish. Charity love is presented in 1 Corinthians 13 as the more excellent way. My God knows what are my problems. My God knows what are the solutions to my problems. So many people believe that the Bible is an old book that has good indication or good suggestions or good solved problems of the first century. So many people feel that the Bible is outdated, is too old. The Bible doesn't understand our deeds, our problems today. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails. Human love will. Brotherly love will. Sexual love will. Family love will. But not charity love. The agape love, that love that God has shown to us, that will never fail. And for sure, that is the first century solution to our 21st century problem. May God bless us and continue to help us to grow, because he cares about us and he wants us to become his children. I understand that today here probably most of us are children of God. But we want to extend the invitation for those who have not been baptized, have not been repented of their sins, that they can be immersed in the water of baptism right now for the remission of their sins. But like we heard today, like we heard yesterday, 1 Corinthians is a letter that is directed to Christians. And so the invitation is also for all of us who may fail, who may have feel that we need to be restored to the faith, that we may want to be rekindled to our Lord and God. If that is the case, why don't you make that decision right now, as together we stand and sing.